Good morning.
Good morning, all.
Morning, morning, morning. Not in the bad, not with a U in there, just morning. So, all right. Sorry we're catching everyone off guard with another early morning one, but we are going to a concert tonight. So, it kind of worked out, and unfortunately that is just how we're gonna whirl.
Well, we're
So
like what me recovered from last week and then what we will be come see us at was it West Virginia PopCon? Is that them?
WV PopCon.
Okay.
We'll be there. Todd will be over in Harrisburg this weekend. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So if you're out and about, and you want to check out some cons, Morgantown, it's at Mylan Park. The Harrisburg show is at the PA Farm Show Center, and or you can go up to the warehouse and check out some new $3 silver that Todd put in there. So
We know how much everybody loves $3 silver.
they do. It's
They
crazy.
do. They do. It's
So
surprising, but at the same time, it's not surprising. So.
right. So, other than that, I don't really have any other super crazy news.
Well,
Karaoke
like I
was a
said,
lot of fun last night, I'll tell you that.
I saw a lot of people were excited. I did catch Miss Sarah Spector's Instagram post yesterday about someone using AI and harassing her, and that's not
Yeah,
cool.
well, so more context to that. Someone took one of her photos off of her social medias, then threw it into AI, and when she asked about getting it removed because they didn't ask permission to use the photo, that's when the guy started being a dick. It wasn't just that he was harassing her about this picture that he took. Like there was that, yeah, you got to get a little more context in there.
It's still a dick thing to do. It's,
Oh,
people think we
absolutely.
can do whatever, and I believe AI, especially in our industry, is a big topic of, it's nice to take those easy shortcuts on certain things, but again, support your local artists that do legitimate art, not this AI crap. Like, if I was to use AI when I was going to graphic arts school, I would have gotten an F, like straight up F, because you're cheating and it doesn't make you look good. It's not creative, it's not cute. You're actually causing more harm than you are, doing anything, all for what? A little clout? That you're using someone else's stuff. And the fact that she asked very nicely speaks volumes about her. Like her and Samurai Joe are both genuinely nice people, and they try really hard to promote our local area. And it sucks when someone has to be a douche about things. Just
Indeed.
because, you lack the creativity or the talent or whatever you want to call it, and not do it yourself, and you have to use the cheat to win, to do something,
So, my opinion on AI is a little different. It's if you're using it as an augmentation, like as in like you're filling in the gaps of something that you actually own, though. You actually have to own most of it, though, right?
If you
Like
Photoshop little bits and pieces that you might have missed, I'm okay with it because that's
or
proofreading.
like for my instance, like as someone who writes music, like a digital drummer is AI, right? So I don't have a drummer in my living room all the time, or my guitar room all the time. So I need that AI drummer. So that's different though, because it is I already own the music that I am playing, that it is just filling in the gaps of one of the pieces that I can't,
Yeah.
right? So for that, I'm okay with it. But when it comes to like visual art, there is a difference between like drawing all of it and then like hand drawing all of it, whether it's computer like with a digital pad or a pencil, and like inking it and coloring it and then throwing an AI and just polishing it out from that. That's
Yes.
different
Yeah.
than
And just
just go
straight up.
typing in there,
Yeah.
hey, make me Superman flying over Pittsburgh on a
Yeah.
windy
And
day or something
yeah.
like that, and then it makes the whole thing for you. There's a big difference in those two things,
Yeah.
right?
If you use it
So
as a tool to help you learn, or like you said, it helps you because you're doing it's using it as a tool, I have no issue with. Using it the way this person used
yeah,
is
just
bullshit.
to well, the bigger bullshit is that he didn't ask permission to use the photo, and
Which
that's
that
really the
happens a
problem.
lot. That happens
Yeah.
a lot
So,
with models and
yeah.
even like comic books. Like that, what was it? It's there's always that. What if is this original art?
Yeah.
Is this, or is this like someone using like what's that dude's name? That artist's name? Francisco Mantilla,
Yeah.
Mantina. And how many accusations has he had over what the last 5 years using someone else's art and just maybe adjusting it here or there, or maybe just doing like an overlay type thing.
Yeah.
And that's not creative and that's not cool. And he's gotten ostracized for that. Like, there's a lot of books that don't touch him anymore. There's a
Yeah.
lot of companies that don't want to deal with him anymore. Like,
Yeah.
I liked him before. And then I found out what he was in, and I got rid of all the stuff that he pretty much had. Like there, I think I
Yeah.
have one or two books, but that's because it's part of the collection. It's cover A. There's nothing I can do about
Yeah.
that, But anything that was a variant that he did, I got rid of because I don't
Right.
support that. That's crap.
Yeah.
But it's a shame, I'm glad everybody had a good time at karaoke. We had one major celebrity pass away. Like I was mentioning to you, I was like looking. We lost Terrence Stamp. For those who don't remember, he is the original General Zod, in the Superman movies. I think the like I told you, I think the last thing I saw him in, he was the guru in Yes Man, the Jim Carrey movie. And that was a few years
Yeah.
ago. But I think that was the last thing he did before before he retired. But he was like 87. He lived a long life. Very successful acting career, well-respected actor.
Oh yeah.
He's
I mean,
like I'm
he
looking at
did.
his like resume, and it's filling up the entire screen of what he's done, which for a man his age, an actor his age, yeah, he should have that kind of
Right.
resume. So, condolences to his
Yeah.
family,
For sure, for sure. I mean, he was in Smallville too. He played Jor-El in
Yeah.
Smallville, which is funny because he was Zod in the original stuff, and he was Jor-El in Smallville. He was in
Is there
Valkyrie.
anybody left from the original Superman movies? Because I think
Maybe.
everybody's passed. Or am I?
I don't think everyone has. I can
Because
find out. Hold on.
Christopher Reeves
Oh
was
shit! He was in
obvious.
he played Stick in Elektra. Shit.
Oh yeah, he was, huh? Yeah. Well, that movie was so bad though. It's like, can you really?
Right. Oh man, he was in Bowfinger. He was also Chancellor Valerum in Phantom Menace.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Let's see here. He was on Alien Nation. like the movie one.
Okay.
See what else was cool.
Like I said, a man who definitely had his hand in pop culture, in all aspects, you know, so.
Right. Well, not only was he in Superman 1, he was in Superman 2 as well.
Yes.
He was the main villain in Superman 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Before that, though, there was a lot of random stuff. All
Yeah,
right.
a lot of English, you know, UK. He was in a lot of UK stuff, which,
All
you know,
right, so
that's typical. You know, that's, you know, they start somewhere and it's usually from home.
right.
Yeah, I think he was a big Broadway actor too. Like Broadway is an English Broadway,
Right.
not Americanized Broadway. So he was, like I said, he was very devoted actor, so it's, you know.
Oh, Jack O'Halloran, who played Nan, is still alive.
Okay.
Valerie Perini, who played Eve Tessmacher, was still alive. Nope, that one's dead. 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 The guy who played the young Clark Kent is still alive, Jeff East. And the guy and Mark McClure, who played Jimmy Olsen, still alive.
Okay.
Sarah Douglas, who played Ursa, is still alive.
Is that the one that, like, her,
No,
she got turned into part of the machine or whatever? Was that her character?
Ursa is Zod's wife.
Oh, okay. So she
You're
was like
thinking of
the.
three. Three was
Yes.
terrible.
Yes, but
Yeah.
it, I'm just trying to think of the entire series in general. Like anything that had Christopher Reeve's Superman. Yeah.
Right. Well, so that person in three was Annie Ross, and she died in 2020.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, obviously, what, Richard Pryor is no longer with us, so that's kind of obvious,
Oh
I
yeah, three's a lot of people. Like, I mean, well, Mark McClure is still around, and Ned O'Toole's still around. Pam Stevenson, who is Lorelai, she's still around. Everybody else is like super mini. So there's still a couple that were pretty hefty that were still alive. But they are getting up there, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, we should probably get to comics.
Yeah.
Sharing screen. All right, I'm gonna go first with Hyde Street number 8. So this book picks up where the last one left off, where it actually starts to culminate everybody together, actually. So this guy goes to see the fortune teller lady, in Sisterhood, the Sisterhood psychic lady, he runs away because he sees her actual face, but he's apparently the butcher of Hyde Street, like this guy. And then Pranky comes in still wearing the wolf mask and he can't get off. And he comes to Mr. X and he's like, "Hey, you need to get this thing off me." And X is like, "All right, let me, it, I'm pretty sure it's permanent, but let's see." So he tries yanking on it and it doesn't work. And Pranky's like, "Well, I'll kill your piranha people." And he's like, "You don't want to do that. They will literally eat you." And he's like, all right, God damn it. So then they go and they're going to see the doctor. So as they do that, they walk by the weight loss lady. He gets to the doctor's office and the two nurses just keep ignoring him because and they just keep talking about all kinds of stuff. So they eventually go in to see the doctor. The Dr. Ego is his name. And he is, killing a patient. So eventually he comes in and he's like, okay. Like X breaks in, he's like, hey, we need to fix this right now. And he's like, okay. So he takes X's glasses off and he puts them on Pranky. And X is like, you shouldn't have done that. And Pranky's like, what the hell is going on? Because he now sees like a flashback of his mom being on a like internment bus, like to go into like a camp. And then it cuts back to this fortune teller from Sisterhood pounding on Mr. Oddman's door, who's the Frankenstein guy. And he's like, I know who it is now. Like I know who the butcher is, and they won't survive what's coming. It was very good. It moved well. It was very like it moved the story along, which was cool, and I liked the fact that it was like tying a bunch of the issues together. So this was a pretty good book for me. I'm gonna probably give it a 10 out of 12 for all of
That's,
those reasons.
I was gonna say that's good because the last couple of issues you've kind of been like not happy with the.
Well, it's not that I wasn't happy. They were still like above 0.5%, but it was like the one last issue was, or the issue before this one was a little fast and it didn't really have a lot of meat in it. But it moved to this story, which actually had a lot of meat and moved a lot and had a lot of story. So that's kind of why I thought it was a lot better.
Okay.
So, yeah. So,
All
your
right,
first
leave that.
book is Absolute Batman.
Absolute Batman. Yeah, it's been a while since the last time I did Absolute Batman. So, Batman 11, this is basically the origin story of this universe of Bane, which is very close to the original origin. Except his father's alive, and like Bane's father's alive. He's a rebel in a war-torn country, and he does spend time in a jail, but it's more along the line of they were jailing him and his father as political prisoners. And just when they got out and they kind of took over or whatever, there's this man in white. They don't say his name in the book here. I think he's supposed to be the Joker. Just saying because he's smiling all the time. He offers Bane basically an offer. He ends up killing his dad. Like he crushes his dad, kills his dad. And he's basically an assassin for this man in white. But he's always looking for people that are similar to his will to live, which is very similar to original Bane, where Bane respects like survivability, being rising and being better than what you were. And there's like a scenario in the book here of what Bane would do to Batman to break him. Like, and it's a brutal like thing where he like takes Batman's axe, cuts his arms off, and just beats him. But that's all fake. Like it's all like scenario type stuff. But basically, you Bane is going after all of Bruce's friends at this point, is the conclusion of the book. This is really good. Again, I'm amazed that Snyder, all he has to do is take like just slightly change certain aspects and make and renews the character in an instant. I've always been kind of a Bane fan. That's my early Batman reading was, you know, Batman having his back broken by Bane and, you know, have Azrael Batman and this. I'm kind of hoping there's an Azrael and Absolute Batman here pretty soon, like sooner rather than later, because I kind of want to see their version of that. But it's really good. I also got the I have the variant cover, which is Batman kind of holding up the bat symbol. I kind of like this one better than the other cover. The other cover's not bad, but I kind of like this one better. But I totally give this a 12 out of 12. I'm not seeing much wrong with this Absolute Batman run at all. I know it's not your favorite, but for me, it's definitely, I love the, again, the slight differences and how it's still Batman, but it's not quite Batman that we know.
Yeah. I like the absolute world. It's kind of working out. I'm just not a fan of Batman. I'm not a big Batman guy in general, so I was always more of a Nightwing guy, so
Well, there's no Nightwing in this yet, so yet.
yet. So, all right. My next book is Mega Man Zero, number timelines, number one. So, have you ever played the Zero games, like, at all?
I think my extension of Mega Man was the Game Boy games. I
Okay.
never had a real Nintendo as a kid, so all my gaming was Game Boy. So I
Well,
remember having
this one
one,
would have been on, like,
two,
the DS, so,
three.
yeah.
Yeah, I never, I stopped playing once you got to DS, so.
Okay. So this one takes place, I think it's like 100 years after the stuff that happens in Mega Man X, because original X is now dead. And Zero wakes up in the middle of a desert, and he is now fighting to help the humans against renegade Reploids, which are like the cybernetic, like the robot guys like him. So he kind of he meets Seal and his team in like this mobile truck. So the Reploids are going apeshit because there's a global power shortage. So the Human Council, though, in New Arcadia, is questioning X's generals, because there's only three of the four of them there. That's because Zero destroyed one of them while taking on and destroying this copy of X, that was kind of malfunctioning. So these three are now going to go after X, or after Zero, and like it's they really flesh out the story from the game. Like, you actually get some background to it. The art in this is fantastic. Oh, you also get to meet what the hell's his name again? El Pizo, who becomes Commander El Pizo, or General El Pizo, Commander El Pizo, who ends up being the villain in actually like the later games more than the first game. Seal helps Zero kind of get back on his feet. So Zero then kind of protects a bunch of the humans, and it starts fighting with the resistance. And it's pretty good. Like it's the way it's drawn and written really emphasizes the game. It emphasizes all the like it emphasizes the story better, I think, than the game itself did. And it, you know, it's another one of the books in the Mega Man stuff. I like this one better than the first Mega Man or the regular Mega Man timelines, but not as much as the Mega Man X timeline one. So I'm probably gonna give this one like a 9 out of 12. Because like I said, it was a little better than the regular X one or the regular Mega Man one, but it was not as good as the X one. And the X one, I think I gave a 10 out of 12 or 11 out of 12. So I really enjoyed it. If you're a Mega Man fan, check out these books mostly for the art. The art is fantastic. Because it's the style of the art is what you see on there on the cover. But it's super good. I really dug it. And it kind of makes me want to go play the game some more. So, which, you know, I might do anyway. But yeah, check it out.
All right, we got Wolverine number 12. We left off with Wolverine pretty much in battle with Sabretooth, defending what we think is his mother, but ends up being Mastermind. And basically, it's just Mastermind messing with Wolverine. He's pretty much under the spell for the most part. Until like he slips up and she mentions the X-Men and she wouldn't know who the X-Men were. So Wolverine kind of is like, okay, this is horseshit. He comes to his senses and he starts tearing into the illusion. Now, of course, like it's one thing that Wolverine always has the issue with is people messing with his mind. And that's exactly what Master Mold did, like saying, you know, it was fun being your mom type deal, and this, that, and the other. So he attacks him. Turns out to be another illusion, but Wolverine finds him eventually, because it's a lot of illusionary stuff. But he does like end up slashing him, putting him down, and it's pretty much it. It's just kind of the culmination here of everything. And he's in his old mansion and he just leaves in a thunderstorm, kind of trying to collect his thoughts, and that's the end. That's kind of where we thought it was going to go with Master Mind messing with his head. I feel like it was kind of a slight, you know, waste or break in the series, but you know, I guess we have to have that little bit of filler there, something unique. Like I was kind of excited to see if his mom was actually alive. That would have been interesting. But no, we just get a dick tease, and it's, you know, it's just Mastermind being a douche. But since Wolverine killed Mastermind, I guess that's, you know, that's done. I will give this like a 10 out of 12. It was still good art. I generally like the story. I think they could have did more with just Mastermind just messing with Wolverine to mess with him. There really wasn't anything beyond that. It just seemed like he took the opportunity to Attack Wolverine. So.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if the inside art's any better, but I don't really like the cover art. So, I don't like, specifically, I don't
Inside.
like Wolverine's art on the cover art. Everything else though is fine.
Yeah, I think it's just a different artist who's this Martin Kokolo, the pronunciation proper. It's not the worst Wolverine I've ever seen. Definitely better than Frank Miller's. Well, current Frank Miller, like old school Frank Miller, yes, is good, but current Frank Miller, I would, want to draw I want a Wolverine for me. It wasn't the worst. Like I said, it was just a little filler story, that we always get in these series. So,
Cool.
but
Well, I
I'm
dig
kind of
it.
looking forward to the next one because it looks like he's going back to his roots of Patch with the gangster style
Oh.
stuff.
Neat.
And like that, here comes the Claw Father, and I'm like, oh, okay. That's kind of cool. All right.
Neat.
I'm down with Gangster Wolverine.
Awesome. All right, my next book is called Eat Your Young. This has come from number one from Mad Cave. The art in this book is awesome. The story is a little weird. So it is about this immortal guy, Mr. Irons, who basically has like a ton of kids because he's immortal, right? And as long as he's alive, all of the children are also immortal. It starts out where two of the siblings go and kill one of the other siblings, or try to kill one of the other siblings, like they shoot her. The only way to kill, or the only way to pass on the immortality to the next leader of the clan, is you have to kill that person and then eat their heart, or drink the
Oh,
blood from their heart, right?
no. Okay.
So Edmund Irons, who's the alpha of the clan, the dad of everybody, decides he's done, he's ready, he wants to pass on the mantle. So he starts gathering all of his kids, and they come and they all talk to him about why they think they should be the person, or he can tell them like whether or not they're going to be the person. He's like, I'm just going to announce it later, at dinner. And you get to meet like probably 10 of the kids. The mom finds out that the little kid's in the hospital while he's doing all these interviews. And then there's one of the sons, Walter, who has no idea that he's actually immortal. And his one brother actually says, like, actually tells him what's going on, and like he's like, you can come to the thing. So then it cuts to the dinner, and there's 21 of them that showed up. A lot of them are just trying to figure out what's going on, and like some of them are actually called the Weird Seven. Like, it's very awkward. So he ends up not telling anybody who it's going to be, because he's looking for the daughter that is in the hospital. Her name's Elsa, and he's just like, someone sent you a message by doing that. He said, message received. So he gets in his car and he starts driving away. And the two that killed the little girl run into him, like run into the car to like try to kill him. But they have to wait till midnight before they can actually eat his heart. So they have 5 minutes to see if he's going to heal or not. And that's kind of where the first book ends. I'm pretty sure he's going to heal and come back and kick all of his kids' asses. So I really enjoyed this book. It was kind of like a random pickup. I think the art is phenomenal. Elsa's the little girl on the cover, by the way, in his lap. I really, like I said, I really enjoyed it. I thought the story was kind of interesting. The art was really good. And for that, I'm gonna give it an 8 out of 12. Because like the story, it's a little convoluted, but it
Yeah.
works. But it didn't quite flow as well as I hoped it would. But the art made up for it. So.
All right, we got Tales of the Shadow Man number one. This looks like it's another reboot.
It is, yeah. The whole Valiant universe rebooted again.
Didn't they just reboot like the beginning of the year?
Sort of, but
Like
yeah, anyway.
I swear we did like Shadow Man stuff earlier in the year, and I think it was only two issues, maybe three, and then they stopped, and now we're
Right.
restarting all over again. It's very frustrating because I feel like the my man here is getting dissed, but anyway, it starts in the castle, Nocturna, in the Deadlands here, or the dead area, whatever you want to call that area here. Sorry. And Shadow Man is just staring out into the wasteland. And Theolonis, the Shadow Cat, starts talking to Shadow Man. About how everything is very restless and there's something going on and they're not quite sure what. And in comes a carrier pigeon. There's even an exchange between Theolonis and Shadow Man on him eating the dove. And he got a message from the mayor, which is the monkey with the hat. The bird dies, so he just kind of resurrects him as the as a shadow bird.
As one does.
Yeah. But he goes and visits the dead Sai. Travels through everything until he reaches Shambhala, the dead city. And he said he contacted him because basically he found a saxophone for Shadow Man. Which is calling to his the OG Shadow Man, which I appreciate. And I guess they hear music playing. And he just checks them out, and it's jazz, but then he hears someone calling him from the outside, from the living world. So he enters New Orleans to find a young lady choking by her own flesh. It's some sort of curse that he actually has to break by shrinking his scythe down to a very minuscule, and it cuts the cuts the curse out. The lady says the attacker is in the alley. He finds her, and of course it's a white dude with a hat. And His name is Mr. Twist. And basically, he's a serial killer. And he's trying to figure out exactly who or what he is. But he ends up escaping from Shadow Man. The lady that called him is a detective, Alyssa Miles. She didn't believe he was real until she called for him. Say it always asking for his boon, and she's like, "Well, I don't have one." He's like, "Well, that's fine because apparently he's looking for Jack Boniface," and that is the end of the book. I enjoyed it. I don't know where Valiant is going with this. It's hurting my head of they start a story, they don't finish the story, and they're like, okay, we're rebooting, we're starting all over again. It's kind of annoying to say the least as a reader, because then it's starting all over again, and I'm not quite sure where they're going to go or how long this is going to last. I'm hoping well, because you and me are big fans of Shadow Man, and I'd like something more than maybe a two book thing a year about Shadow Man. But the art is interesting because it's very like watercolor-esque, like which is actually for Shadow Man is really well done because he extends his shadows. You see a lot of him extending his the coat and his extensions of his shadow flow really well with this book, so I really enjoyed that. I'm going to tentatively give this 11 out of 12 just because I am very weary of what Valiant is doing. I don't know what they're doing, and I don't want to get super excited if they're just going to cancel it after one book or two books, you know? So I don't want to get overly, you know, invested, but I will give it a go here. Fingers crossed.
Fair
So.
enough. All good. All good. All right. Well, I don't think we really have anything else to talk about, so I think we're going to call it early today.
Yeah, I
So,
mean, I was in Chicago Fan Expo, which
oh yeah.
that was fun. Yeah. It was that, what was it? It was a lot of anime voice actors, pretty much like a lot of major ones, a lot of Avatar. But the one and only celebrity that I went for was my pronunciation's gonna butcher this. And I even asked him his proper pronunciation. It's Odin Fener is, I think, is the proper pronunciation. And for those who don't know who that is, he is the guy with the long hair that is like the was the leader of the band of rebels, I guess you call him that. In the original Mummy movie, I forget the name of the group, the organization, whatever you want to call them. But he is that man. But the reason I got his autograph, which I was telling you yesterday, I was the only one, and he actually said he would like one himself. I had him sign Dr. Fate, Justice League Unlimited. Still in box action figure, because he one of his credentials in Hollywood was he was a voice actor of Dr. Fate, the only one who's done a voice actor of him. So, and he was really flattered because usually everybody was all the mummy stuff, which I enjoy the mummy as well, but. He does have a really nice voice, and he was a super nice dude. I think he gave everybody like 5 minutes of time just BSing. So,
That's awesome.
and I also got a art piece and a signature from Angel Mendia. They got a very nice spawn piece. So I don't have a lot of spawn art because it's usually super expensive. This was very affordable within my budget. So I was very appreciative on that end. But the rest of the time, I worked and busted my butt. I was exhausted. But in general, it looked like everybody had a good time. It was very, very busy
Good, good.
from my end.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching, and we will catch everybody next week. Back to the regular time next week. So, all right.
Yes.
Have a good day, guys.